to Inside Scoop 5. Hi, I'm Irene Watson. I'm your host for today. Well, today I'm really thrilled to be speaking on the phone with Jewel Kass. She is the author of a recently published children's book titled, What Do You Use to Help Your Body? Maggie Explores the World. Her inspiration to help children understand disabilities comes from her own experience and desires. But before we talk to Jewel, I'd like you to know a little bit more about her. Jewel Kass is a very busy, busy young woman. She's 32 and has been writing away since the new millennium in 2000. Jewel's co-written a touring musical. For 6 years, she worked as a syndicated columnist for the Scripps Howard News Service and the Torstar Syndication Services. She's won $20,000 in scholarships from the Global Television Network and publisher Harlequin Enterprises. Her cap now is that of a children's author. Jewel's works include Rena's Bollywood Dream and What Do You Use to Help Your Body, which we're going to be talking about today. Later on, sometimes this year, her newest book, Cinderella's Magic Wheelchair, will be released. So without further ado, let's meet Jewel Kass. Hi, Jewel.
Hi.
This is a real pleasure for me to talk to you again. You're such a prolific author for children's books and books with meaning, something that helps them adjust to society. And I want to talk about this book, What Do You Use to Help Your Body? But before we do that, I'd like you to tell our listening audience, what is the premise of this book?
Well, basically, What Do You Use to Help Your Body is about a young mother-daughter duo, and their names are Maggie and Mama. And every week, they go for an outing. Basically, Mama uses the outing to teach Maggie about something new. And during this outing, she's arranged for Maggie to meet different people in her community who have a disability. And Maggie approaches each person, and she asks them one simple question, which is, what do you use to help your body? And the person who responds answers what assistive device they use and how it helps them.
And so give us an example of some of the disabilities that you address in this book.
Okay. Well, Maggie first meets a lady named Liz, and she sells flowers on the street, and she uses a hearing aid. And the hearing aid basically helps her listen to voices coming from near and far. And then there's a dancer named Justin who teaches a hip-hop class in the park. And he uses a prosthetic leg. And that basically helps him, you know, move around more easily. Then she meets Dr. Sharma, and he is a doctor, obviously. Uh-huh. And he uses a cane, and that helps him with his mobility as well by standing for longer periods of time. So, yeah, she meets a diverse group of people from different ethnic backgrounds. And that basically illustrates that disabilities don't just happen in one race or one ethnic group. It happens to all people, and it's a human condition.
Mm-hmm. It sure is, isn't it? And what a great thing to teach the children at a small age that this is just part of life. Now, I understand, Jewel, that you have a disability.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to tell us about it?
Sure. Well, I was born a typical healthy child, you know, like the main character Maggie in my newest book. You'd find me hopping and skipping and jumping and, you know, all that jazz. And everything actually changed one January night when I was 9 years old. I was in a really bad car accident, and my right thigh, it basically shattered, and I never recovered. Since that time, I've had about 8 leg surgeries. And I currently walk with a cane, and I've developed arthritis because of the accident. And, so that's the gist of my disability.
And so do you have children like Maggie ever approach you and talk to you about it?
Oh, of course.
Yes?
That's exactly why I wrote this manuscript. I actually wrote this manuscript as a final assignment for a children's class I was taking here in Toronto at George Brown College. And in reference to your question, I got the idea from my own personal experience. Because kids are really, really curious about the cane I walk with. I mean, I don't blame them because it's also hand-painted, so it grabs a lot of attention. And sometimes they stare at me. Sometimes they ask questions. And the funny thing is, it's the parents and their caregivers who get embarrassed, not me.
Yeah,
and it's because I'm very open about my disability, and that's when I realized, you know, like, not all people with disabilities, you know, they feel this way, and that's why I decided to write this book, because there's a gap, right?
Yes,
and,
yes, there is a gap, and I think that the reason they feel uncomfortable is because, you know, those of us that don't have a disability don't know what to do or how to help you or fix it, or we're just not sure what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line.
Yeah.
And so what do you suggest for people like us that, you know, we're just not sure how, you know, would you talk about it? Can we, you know, I'm just kind of thinking myself, okay, when I see you with a cane, how do you want me to act and react?
You see, it depends on the person, because I can't speak for all people with disabilities, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm cool, say, with the idea of someone approaching me and asking me questions. But I think it's more safe and it's more considerate to educate a child at home or in the classroom or in the library setting. So in that sense, it's important to teach a child about a disability. It's important to teach a disability about disabilities from an early age. Because children, they absorb the world like sponges. I mean, they learn by example, and people with disabilities will always be part of the community. You know, we've been a part of the community since the beginning of time, and it's really important to teach inclusion to kids.
I so agree, and I just find, too, that people with disabilities, they don't mind talking about their disability or their challenges.
It depends on the person. It really, really depends on the person.
I'm sure. And how then do you suggest that, for me, for example, as an adult, approach that? You know, how would I know if the person is willing to talk or not?
You can tell a lot by body language.
Uh-huh.
Body language is the first clue. Because if your child is staring or asks a question, you see the way the person with a disability reacts. Right?
Uh-huh.
That's your immediate hint or clue. And if the person is more inviting, then yeah, your child or you can ask more questions to educate the child. But if the person is more reserved, then out of courtesy, you should respect that.
Children sometimes don't have boundaries. And of course, you know, as they're growing up, they're learning how to create boundaries or accept other people's boundaries. And I'm sure that you've even had this experience where the children just like blurt out questions. And is that okay?
That is okay, because kids are kids, right? Kids are innocent. And you can't blame a child for being like that, because that's just the way they are. Right? But at the same time, as adults, we have to change our thinking, right? Because the way we are, whether it's in the privacy of our homes or in the classroom, that really, really affects the child. I mean, that means beginning to get rid of the us versus the them thinking. And the earlier we actually start smashing stereotypes, the better chance we have in getting rid of them. And we can do this by openly talking to kids about disabilities. And actually, there's a really good resource you can find online, and it's called www.museumofdisability.org. And I encourage your readers to, not readers, sorry, listeners, to check it out.
And you said that was disabilitiesmuseum.org?
Yeah, museumofdisability.org.
Okay, good. And so when you speak to children yourself that do come, and do you also go and do lectures at libraries or schools? Do you talk about that way, or is it basically more on one-on-one?
It's basically at this point more one-on-one, and I do in the future have some events coming up.
Okay.
Yeah, and I will be speaking in different hospitals, and I will be doing events in schools and things like that. But at this point in time, yes, it's more one-on-one, and that actually, it gives them more a personal approach, so that's beneficial as well.
And how much information do you give them?
Whatever they ask. You know, like, Jewel, what happened to you? Or why do you walk with a cane, and does it hurt? And I would answer those questions, and whatever they ask, I answer, because, you know, I'm not embarrassed about my disability. I'm very open about it.
You mentioned that your cane is painted.
Yeah.
Tell us about it, since we can't see you.
Well, it's black, and it's really funky. Like, it has like, a floral print on it.
Uh-huh.
And I actually had it printed back when I went on a trip to Bangladesh. And the funny thing is, my fiancé, the first time he saw me, he's like, what's that girl doing with the cane? Right? And he thought it was a fashion accessory. It's actually happened to me a lot, because people think it's a fashion accessory. They don't realize that I actually use it for a physical reason, right?
That's too funny.
And then once he got to know each other, then he realized, oh, okay, so she's not an eccentric artist. It's actually for a reason.
Well, it's great to hear that you do, you know, things like that. It's like, okay, so you have to have a cane. So you might as well go all out and make it funky and bright and, you know, whatever.
Of course.
And use it as a fashion accessory. Why not? Why not? It's something that you certainly don't want to hide. So if a child themselves has a disability, just give us some tips that maybe, you know, what parents or family or even, you know, friends can do to help that child.
Well, I think pitying a child with a chronic disability is the wrong approach. You know, you should treat them like survivors and not victims. I mean, I don't want you to get me wrong. All kids need empathy and love and a shoulder to cry on. But at the same time, they need to build coping skills. And it's important to emphasize the idea of unconditional love. I mean, kids need to know they're accepted. It will boost their self-esteem. And really, like, if you think about it, I mean, what can be better than a kid with confidence, right?
So, Jill, there you are, 9 years old, normal child, doing everything that nine-year-olds do. You have an accident. Your leg is injured.
Yeah.
Tell us what was happening to you at that time. It's like, you know, obviously there were a lot of surgeries, as you said, but also whether or not you were going to lose the leg, I would imagine. And so there was just a lot of stuff that was going on around that time. So tell me, as a nine-year-old, how did you handle that?
Well, there wasn't a chance that I would lose the leg, because it had more to do with the bones.
Ah, good.
So there wasn't that that concern for me. I was in the hospital for sick children for several weeks, and after that I came home in a full body cast. So I basically lost a year. I wasn't able to attend school, and I was at home or at the hospital with private tutoring. Honestly, at that time, I was always very happy-go-lucky, so I made a good time of it, even in the hospital. And the hospital I stayed at was very, very nice. I mean, the staff was very nice. They had activities for us. They had a nice library, so there's always a source of entertainment. My private teacher was very nice. My family was supportive. It was sometimes frustrating because I couldn't sit up and do normal things, like even, like, say, go to the bathroom. But that was life, and I accepted it, and I realized that, you know, it's not a big deal having a disability or being different. So, yeah.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. I'm Juanita Watson, the host of the show, and invite you to join me as I bring to the air both well-known and upcoming writers. You will hear my guests talk candidly about their books, their life experience, specific topics, and the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, my intention is to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are syndicated and archived for availability 24/7 through direct podcast and MP3 download. And as always, I love to hear from listeners. Have a look at our website, InsideScoopLive.com. Send me an email, comment on previous guests, and let me know who you'd like to hear on the show. I'll do my best to bring you your favorite authors live and direct.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. As you've heard so far, Jewel is a real sweetheart with a big heart and a desire to help children understand that people with disabilities can lead a normal life. All they need is just a little help with either a cane or a hearing device or whatever it is. So stay tuned because there is so much more to come. By the way, Jewel's website address is jewelkatz.com, JewelKatz.com. When she came out of the hospital and the healing was taking place, where you were able to actually walk with a cane and be integrated back into the school system, how did your classmates and or other kids in school react?
I have never been teased for being a person with a disability. I went to school. People were like, "Oh, you've been away for a long time. You know what happened?" And no, they were very nice to me. They were very sensitive. In high school, there were times I was using a cane on and off. And some of the popular kids in school would actually want to stand with my cane because they thought it was very, very different. And I was considered one of the cool girls because I had access to the elevator.
Uh-huh.
So, I can't sit here and complain. Maybe it's my outlook and maybe it's my fortunate circumstances. But, that's been my experience.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm sure that everybody doesn't have that experience. Because,
yeah.
You know, kids can be really cruel, as you
mm-hmm.
know. And fortunately, they weren't to you. So, June, obstacles. Have you faced any obstacles because of your disability?
Well, when I think about my current life, the obstacles I face, I think I face obstacles in my career. I face obstacles as a writer. I mean, I love, love, love to write in cafes and take writing workshops, but they don't all have elevators or on the ground floor, so I can't write or study anywhere I please. I'm also limited by transportation. I use a public transport service, Wheel-Trans. Basically, how it works is people with disabilities call in the day before,
okay.
And they book a ride for the next day. And the problem is that it only operates in the greater Toronto area. So I have to ask someone for a ride to travel outside, say for a book event or something. And I can't make spontaneous plans with, say, friends. I can't hop over to a media interview or to do research. I mean, everything has to be structured. And, you know, as an artist, that's really hard, right?
Yes. For sure, especially if somebody that wants to be spontaneous, it must be a real drawback for you.
Yeah.
Now, you had mentioned something about, you know, some of the places don't have elevators, but does Toronto or Canada not have ADA in place as we do here in the United States? Well, American Disabilities Act, but is there like a CDA?
There is disability awareness here, and we are working to make the community more accessible,
uh-huh. But
it's taking time, and it will happen, and I believe it will happen, and as an advocate, I will make sure it happens,
uh-huh.
As of now, there are places that are off limits in terms of, you know, say having stairs and things like that, but there is a long-term goal, yes.
Good, good. I'm glad to hear that. So using your disability, I understand that actually it did influence your writing. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, for sure it influenced my writing because, you know, authors write what they know, and I know about disabilities through personal experience. And I personally refuse to write about stories just for the sake of writing. I write to make a difference, and I'm really passionate about disability issues, and I want to use my voice to influence the next generation. And that's why I write books for kids, because they're basically the future, as we both know. And they're the key to the future.
Mm-hmm, they are. And this book has just been published, so it's just starting to get out there. And really, I do encourage the listeners, whether you're a parent or a grandparent or an aunt or uncle or a friend, to buy this book and give it to a child or a family. You know, the child doesn't have to have disabilities, but what a wonderful way to learn about all the different kinds of disabilities. The name of the book is What Do You Use to Help Your Body? How unique. And as we heard earlier, Jill had said, you know, one of the characters that Maggie talks to has a hearing aid, another one uses a cane, another one has a prosthetic leg. And, you know, this is our society. We are made up of all kinds of people. And, gosh, Jill, what a passionate, great book that you've written.
Really? Thank you so much.
Yes, yes. Tell our listening audience your website address.
It's www.jewelcats.com.
There you go, jewelcats.com. And again, the name of the book is What Do You Use to Help Your Body? The book is available through her website or Amazon.com, or you can go to your local bookstore and have it ordered. It's available, and I just really encourage you to check it out. Jill, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
For being here and just talking about yourself and your disability, but also encouraging the children to learn about disabilities. It's just been a real honor for me to talk to you. Thank you.
Aw, same here.
Listeners, this is Irene Watson with Inside Scoop Live. Thanks for listening.